America Weekend.
This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A regular contributor each week is meteorologist Jim Witt from the weatherwiz.com website.
You know, last week we talked about the surface winds. We mentioned that winds was actually the movement of air, and it generally flowed from cold areas, which was high pressure, to warm areas, which was low pressure. And the greater the difference between the two temperatures or pressure systems, the stronger the winds. Well, we also mentioned that winds were named from where they come and that they bring the characteristics of the region they came from. For example, a northwest wind in the United States generally brings cold air from Canada, and west winds would bring dry weather from the west, except in California. Southwest winds, on the other hand, would bring warm weather from the south and dry from the west. Well, today we're going to go upstairs. We're going to move up to the upper level winds, the upper air winds. Now, we've all heard about the jet stream. That's that narrow band of strong winds that streak across the sky, sometimes at velocities of 200 miles an hour or even greater. Now, the jet stream is located about 30 to 40,000 feet above the surface of the Earth. Now, sometimes it flows just from west to east very peacefully across the sky. However, at other times, it snakes northward and then southward. And when the jet stream takes that kind of form, it forms these mountains and valleys in the sky that we here on Earth, we experience some very severe storms. Now, we call these mountains in the upper air ridges, and the valleys are called troughs. The ridges are actually pockets of warm air in the atmosphere, and troughs are pockets of cold air. Now, sometimes these ridges and troughs remain stationary for weeks or even months, and this becomes very important in making long-range weather forecasts. For example, if the upper air winds take a position where the ridge is established over the western half of the nation and a trough is located in the east, and it's winter time, it could mean that the west will have a mild winter, while the middle and eastern part of the country will be cold and maybe even stormy. Warm winter versus cold winter. Seems pretty simple. We should be able to make long-range forecasts without a problem. Well, not so fast. These ridges and troughs move, they flatten out, they deepen. It gets very complicated. So far this month, the ridge has been located in the west and the trough in the east-central part of the country. And as you're probably well aware, some bitterly cold air has plagued the central and eastern part of the country this January. Now let's drop down a step. We're going to go from the 30,000 feet winds where the jet stream is located to about 18,000 feet. Believe it or not, this is the level of the atmosphere that has a lot to do with steering the pressure systems, the storms on the surface of the Earth. For example, if the winds at 18,000 feet are blowing from the southwest at 40 miles an hour, a storm at the surface below these winds would be dragged along by these winds, but only at half the speed. So a 40-mile-an-hour southwest wind would move a surface storm towards the northeast at only 20 miles an hour. Now, if there was precipitation associated with this storm, it would move along at the same speed. If you looked at radar and saw snow falling, let's say, 100 miles to your south and west, and it was moving at 20 miles an hour, the snow would begin falling at your location in about 5 hours. Now, the weather students I had used to love to see how closely they could time the exact onset of the snow at our school. Kids love to do that. Now, besides just moving storms along, the upper air winds also have a great deal to do with weakening and strengthening of storms and high pressure systems. For example, picture a huge ridge or mountain in the western part of the United States and a deep trough in the center of the country. This is maybe a bit confusing. Stick with me. Now, if we could place ourselves at the very tip of the ridge, the mountain, and we could slide down into the center of the trough, we would be heading from the northwest towards the south and southeast. Well, a high-pressure system or pocket of cold air would strengthen at the top of the ridge and then slide down the ridge and slide out of Canada, we'll say, into the United States and plunge into the southern states. On the other hand, place yourself at the very bottom of the trough, perhaps in the states along the Gulf of Mexico. At this location, low pressure would form, because the air is warm and moist, and begin to move north and east along the eastern part of the trough. Now, storms get support on the eastern part of the trough, and they would deepen rapidly.
Jim Witt from theweatherwiz.com. I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend. Think green.
Harrison with you. We've all heard about the benefits of omega-3 fatty acids on heart health, but did you know these essential fish oils may ward off daily depression? Animal brain chemistry studies found in countries where more fish is eaten, there are lower rates of depression. And besides limiting depression, fish oil seems to help with bipolar disorder as well. About 25% of the dry weight of our brains is made up of omega-3s. And if you're deficient in them, the cells in your brain can malfunction. And the result is often depression. In other words, depression may be largely connected to nutrition. Not only can omega-3 fish oils elevate your mood, but they're, of course, very good for cholesterol. So if you're taking them for your heart, now there's an amazing potential new benefit, too. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He led the ground attack in one of the most potent offenses ever. In 2000, his final season, he rushed for 1,500 yards to lead the NFC and entered the 2012 season as the Vikings' all-time leading rusher.
From the 39, handoff, Robert Smith finds a crack.
So where is Robert Smith now? Robert's an atheist and an outspoken opponent of religion and sports, a topic he tackles in his 2004 book, The Rest of the Iceberg. He's an amateur astronomer and was featured in the 2007 PBS documentary, Sing in the Dark. Since 2005, Robert's been a top college football analyst with ESPN.
I am a believer. I am still a believer in Dabo Sweeney and this Clemson team.
Well, who can argue with an analysis like that? I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call now, 888-759-MYTV.